Welcome to Ancient Faith Today. This is Father Tom Soroka, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. It also helps that I turn on the mic. It is December 10th, 2024, and for those of us on the revised Julian calendar, we are only 15 days away from the celebration of the Lord's Nativity. It's pretty exciting. It is much milder here today in Pittsburgh than it has been in the past week. We were in the mid to upper 20s for much of the week, and it was pretty unpleasant. We haven't had much snow, but I hope it's more pleasant where you are. I think that we're in for a beautiful, beautiful celebration of the Lord's Nativity, no matter what calendar you are on. And a lot of it is because we have so many new people in our midst. Isn't that glorious? It's really amazing. So many new faces and people that are exploring the Orthodox faith. We had our matins this morning at our church. We have daily matins on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we have a nice group that comes there, and we have breakfast. And one of our new parishioners, our new inquirers, was there, and it was so nice to see her and talk about things. And that's really the way it should be. So I hope that your parish is experiencing a lot of these blessings that we are. Again, welcome. And we want to invite you to join in to the conversation. In a sense, you are the guest. We have a lot to talk about today. This is really important. And I think that I want to rejoice with everyone, but I also want to give a little bit of a perspective that I think is very, very important. So here's how you can join in to the conversation. First, you can go to youtube.com/ancientfaithministries, and you can go right there, click on live, and you'll be able to join into the live chat right there. You'll see right now, Father Paul Kelly is there. Hello, RedJ81, hi there. And we'll have more people that will be joining in. I see the numbers increasing right now. You can also go to facebook.com/ancientfaithministries. You'll see the first thing playing there will be our video. So give us a comment there. Let us know where you are hailing from. Also, hi, Brian. Nice to see you, my dear friend. I'll be passing your way in a few days through Cincinnati, so I hope all is well there. And, you know, one thing that we want to talk about today is, hi, Sarah, and one thing that we want to talk about today is this idea of all of these converts that are coming into the church. We've kind of alluded to it, but now we're going to take it on sort of completely and entirely, because I want to hear what you have to think about this. Are you one of those new inquirers? Are you seeing an Orthodox church for the first time, seeing the inside of an Orthodox church? I was talking about this young lady that came to our church for the first time, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I asked her, I said, so how long have you been studying Orthodoxy? And she said, 2 years. I said, 2 years. And so what churches have you visited? She goes, this is the first time. So it's very interesting. People are watching videos, and they are reading books, and they are having discussions, and they are thinking about the life of faith, and they're thinking about Christianity. They're talking about the meaning of life and all of these very important existential philosophical conversations that I think somewhat were spurred on by the COVID pandemic. And whatever you think of that, that gave people time to sit and think about life, to think about church, And as we've said before, you know, we lost people, some places lost people during the pandemic, and it was mostly those who kind of had a somewhat of a surface relationship with the church, and they found out they didn't miss it. They didn't really think it was that important. They couldn't go, maybe for one reason or another, and all of a sudden they stopped going, and some of them have not come back, and that's very sad. And we're going to talk about that warning today. Hi, JASBRG, hello from Knoxville. Baptized since a year at the end of the month. God bless you. How wonderful that is. So let's hear from you. We're going to go through this conversation. We're going to look at one particular article that I'm sure some of you have seen that recently was published, I think about a week ago, in the New York Post. The article itself was a little bit problematic, just the way it was presenting things. But, you know, ultimately, the most important thing is, what are we going to do with this particular Orthodox moment? So we'll get to that in a second. The other way that you can contact us, and you're always welcome to do that, is through the text message, 412-206-5012. That's 412-206-5012. Send us a text message if you would like to. All right. So we have a nice group that is gathering. You know what you can do? Those of you that are in the chat room right now, do us a favor. Take that YouTube link and share it out to wherever you can. Share it through your text message. Share it to your YouTube channel. Share it to your friends and families. Let's get people in here and let's get talking about this. Also, if you can, go ahead and hit that like button on YouTube. We'd love to get those, get that algorithm to really jump so that we can get more and more people on here, because I think there's a lot of worthy things that you have to say. All right, so let's get started. Simon, I'm going to ask you to put up the first slide. Now, I'm being a little provocative here because I named this particular episode "This Orthodox Moment: Timely Trend or Fleeting Fad?" All right. This Orthodox moment, is it a timely trend or a fleeting fad? Now, we'll get the, I think we're having a little issue. There we go. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, the Orthodox Church is 2,000 years old, okay? We have been through the Turkish Muslim invasion and incursion and decimation. We have been through the communism in almost all of the Eastern European countries. And, you know, we really, really do have to keep our perspective about these things. It's very important. It's very important because often we, as I think modern people, especially Americans, don't account for history very much. We don't think about history. We don't think about, you know, the small place that we have in the time of human history. And as exciting as this Orthodox moment is, you know, it's a kind of little blip, and we have to think about the time that we are in. And so I could answer this very easily by saying, this Orthodox moment that we're in right now, especially in Western countries, where we're seeing all of this influx into our churches, is it a timely trend? In other words, is this something that's going to go up and up and up? Is it going to keep going up? Are we going to hold on to everyone? Are we going to have deeply rooted Orthodox Christians for generations and generations? Because I will tell you, again, we have a very short memory. And even some of the commentators were saying, like, you know, Orthodoxy in America was really in decline in the 1970s and 1980s and 1990s. Yes, that is true. That is absolutely true. But do you know why it was declining? It was declining because ethnicity, people of ethnic heritage that came over to this country, and it really doesn't matter which ones, but let's take the predominant Orthodox ones. So you have Greeks and you have Russians and Serbians and Lebanese, Syrians, right? Bulgarians, Romanians. Here's what happens. You come over to this country. That's one generation. You have children. That's two generations. And you are keeping those children somewhat involved in your identity through language, through culture, through foods, and through church, right? And a lot of our churches were doing that, and some still do. They become a place for people of that ethnicity to congregate. But by the third generation, those grandchildren of those original immigrants have already almost fully assimilated into Western ways, into the American ways. They probably are losing their language. They are losing their connection to culture. They are losing their connection to the worldview and the philosophy of Orthodoxy. Why? Because they are intermarrying with non-Orthodox Christians. They're going to schools that are not Orthodox. And so what happened was, and actually a very natural but terribly unfortunate thing, and that is in the 1970s and 1980s and 90s, Orthodoxy was in decline. There was no doubt about it. But I want to remind all those commentators that said that, you didn't save anything in the last 20 years. The reason why is, let's go back to the 1950s and 1960s. I can tell you that in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, probably every church that was here, and there are some 40, 50, 60 churches at that time, every one of them had 500, 600, 700 people. Orthodoxy was quite large. It was really enormous. And if you say, oh, well, it was never that, that's not true. Not in the 1940s and 1950s. Probably virtually everyone that identified as a Russian or a Romanian, a Bulgarian, a Greek, they had some identity with the church. But it declined because of this natural assimilation. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just telling you, it's a sociological fact, because the church in around the mid-70s and the mid-80s started to understand the idea of evangelism and reaching out. Evangelism in Orthodoxy was not invented 3 years ago during COVID. Evangelism was in terms of America, was a deeply understood process, especially in the Orthodox Church in America, and especially in the Antiochians. And there were other churches that were doing that also. And because they started to realize, hey, we're in the third generation, we're going to, you know, start losing our people, and we need to educate them. And so it's very important that we understand that the church declined also because of this natural assimilation. And so now we sort of are able to become ourselves. We are able to be Orthodox Christians merely to be Orthodox Christians. I'm of Russian heritage, but I am an Orthodox Christian because I love God, because I love Christ, because I have been baptized into him, not because of my heritage. And so that message has to get out to people that grew up in the church. But we are here to talk about this idea of converts coming into the church. And I think it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing moment in this time of the church. But we don't want to make it a fleeting fad. We don't want to make it a fad. Why? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Well, it should be obvious why. But, you know, as Americans, as people who use social media, we are a consumer culture. We are a throwaway culture. We are a fad culture. We always need something new. We need new music, a new car, a new phone, whatever it is. We get tired of things very easily. And the warning that we have to remember is that this Orthodox moment can be a moment that leads us, as a timely trend, into a growing Orthodox church planted here by St. Herman, by the missionaries who came. We can be an Orthodox church that continues to grow, or we can allow social media and our habits as Americans and Western people, if you're in Western, if you're in Western Europe or Australia, Western countries, you can just make this be a fleeting fad. And 5 years from now, nobody will remember it. Nobody will remember Orthodox Christianity. That's the concern that I think we have to be very worried about. Let's look at some of the comments right now before we get into some of the slides. It says here, Mr. Wolfman 29. He says, we have seen an uptick in consistent waves of inquirers and catechumens since the pandemic. This sounds like other parishes around us have had similar experiences. Indeed. Yeah. It's happening everywhere, and glory to God. This is something that is really tremendous, and I think it is certainly God's spirit moving people's hearts to find the truth. We have Clifford Gears. Good evening, Father. I'm a new inquirer by the grace of God 4 Sundays in. Thank you for sharing the faith. God bless you, Clifford. Don't give up. Don't give up, Clifford. Just keep going. Keep reaching out to God, and he will respond in kind. And Wise says, I pray a trend. Absolutely, absolutely, for sure. Cindy Johnson, greetings from Mountain Home, Arkansas. I remember going through Arkansas for the first time, and I think it was like where all the chickens are bred and processed. I think it's somewhere in Arkansas, and I remember going there many times for my work. Let's see here. Whose stone? People looking for faith and get confused. So where do you start? At the beginning. Oh, I love that. That's right. You start at the beginning of the church, and you find the apostles and the prophets and the saints and church history. And what do they say? They say, he who studies church history ceases to be a Protestant, right? That's very important. Let's see. Nate Tanner says, hey, Nathaniel, I am also from SLC. I go to, let's see here. Oh, wait, let's go back. Wait, Nathaniel Lowe. Hello from SLC, Salt Lake City. The local Antiochian parish in Salt Lake City, St. Peter and Paul, has almost 100 catechumens. 100 catechumens. Glory to God. I'm going to have a picture for you. It's an old one, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy that. You guys were definitely on the front end of this. That's for sure. Let's see here. You have Father Truenbach there now. And then, of course, you know, I think a lot of that trend in in Utah really came from also Father Justin Havens. And those two men are just absolutely tremendous. And I know the other priests there are also. Let's see here. KR says, I am an inquirer moving into the catechumenate. I have been a staunch Protestant for my whole life, now in my mid-30s. I attended seminary. From my perspective, this is not just a fad. All right. From your lips to God's ears, KR. Father V, let's see, Father Franklin? Franklin? I don't know what that is. FRVNKLIN. Please help us, new to the faith. Pray for us and encourage us instead of expecting us to be just a trend or a fad. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about. Absolutely. Let's see here. Father Paul Kelly says, we are a materialist culture and orthodoxy couldn't be farther from that, which I love about it. Yeah, and definitely in terms of being a consumer culture, we're definitely around for the long haul. All right, so let's get into some of the slides here. The second slide, and I want to make sure, because I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. I think this is amazing, and I think that we should rejoice. I think this is an incredible move of God, and God is using YouTube and social media, but I also think he's moving people's hearts, right? He's moving people's hearts. And I think that is very important. You know, I've read various comments online that have said, so-and-so is the cause of this, or this YouTube channel is the cause of this, or whatever it is. Dear brothers and sisters, let's not trivialize this moment. This is not about one person or another person. You can't say, so-and-so brought me to the church. You have to say, the Lord Jesus Christ brought me to the church, right? This is about Christ. This is about the depth of our love for him. We absolutely have to acknowledge that this is not about a personality. This is not about who wrote a particular book. They can be very helpful. Absolutely. But remember, keep your focus on Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit right now. So the next slide basically shows that this idea of orthodoxy growing didn't just happen last week. It's been going on for a while. There were other articles that came out. Look at the National Catholic Reporter says, Orthodox churches boomed during the pandemic, study finds, but calls growth a mixed bag. Or the Wall Street Journal showed, Eastern Orthodoxy gains new followers in America. And you know, the problem with these articles in the secular press is they inevitably get not everything right. For whatever reason, they are never able to capture the correct words for what, you know, what is the real thing that's going on here. So this next article that we're going to bring up, which is the one that came up just about a week ago, is from the New York Post. So let's take a look at this particular article in the New York Post. And it is entitled, Young Men Ditching Traditional Churches. Yoy, what a bad headline. Young men ditching traditional churches in droves for more, quote, masculine Orthodox Christianity. All right. I think all of us understand what it's saying, but that's clearly not the way to put this, right? The way to put this, young men ditching traditional churches in droves for more. Well, first of all, it is very clear in the article that they were leaving mainline Protestant churches, but certainly that is not at all the place where these young men are coming from, right? I think the young men left the mainline churches long time ago. Most of the young men that are coming into our churches now, not all of them, but I think a lot of them are either coming from evangelical non-denominational churches, Catholic churches, or they're coming from, you know, some kind of atheism or some type of, you know, nihilism. And they are realizing that there's a meaning to life. And yes, they probably watched Jordan Peterson. They might have watched Jonathan Pageau and so forth. But ultimately, you have to enter into a church building. You know, one of the things that we have to remember here is the idea that the church is an online activity has to go away. The online activity of the church has to be didactic, right? It has to be for teaching, and it has to be for fellowship. So this, it's very important that especially people who kind of cut their teeth on finding about Orthodoxy online, get thee to a church. Get thee to a church. It's very important. Don't spend all your time online. Go to a church, because that's where this actually happens. What you're doing is you're reading the theory, you're learning about the theory, but you have to put it in practice. And you have to put it in practice in a community of believers. This is extremely important. Otherwise, you know, we become like fundamentalist Protestants, sola scriptura, where it's like sola, I don't know what, social media, sola YouTube. You have to go to a church. It's very, very important. So let's look at some of this article. We're just going to read the first part of it. I don't know how successful we're going to be in reading it online, because there are a gazillion pop-ups in this. But I don't know how well we can do with that, Simon. Let's do our best. So it says, this is the beginning of it. It says, Ben Christensen was raised Anglican. Church every Sunday, a religious school, and Christian camp every summer. But Christensen, 27, of Fairfax, Virginia, always found himself longing for a more traditional faith. The hard thing about growing up in my church is that there was a lot of change even in my lifetime. Isn't that interesting? A lot of change even in my lifetime. He's 27, he told the Post. I realized that there really was no way to stop the change. Wow. What an incredible quote. There was no way to stop the change. So he could see everything happening in the Anglican church. Okay. Now, he watched as traditions went by the wayside. The roped choir was swapped out for a worship band. Lines were blurred on female ordination, and long-held stances on LGBT issues shifted. Quote, all of that stuff was basically fungible, which gave me a sense that the theological commitments are kind of fungible too, he said. And then the next part, we got to scroll all the way down. So Christensen began exploring other denominations in college and landed on perhaps the most traditional of all, Orthodox Christianity. In 2022, at the age of 25, he converted. Quote, it seems to me like the mainline denominations are hemorrhaging people, he said. If you still are serious about being a Christian, now that there isn't really as much social status tied up in it, and you want something that has some heft to it, there's more of an awareness of Orthodoxy than there used to be. Next line. Christensen, who works as a fundraiser for nonprofits, attends St. Mary's Orthodox Church in Falls Church, Virginia. Conversion, means that he now must frequently attend confession, recite prescribed prayers, and endure extreme fasting, sometimes over 40-day stretches. Weekly services are also highly ritualized and regimented. Yikes. And can last up to 2 hours. Oh, 2 hours. We're just getting started at 2 hours. All right. And then it says finally, but he says he takes great comfort in the 2,000-year history of each tradition. There is a sense of structure, of continuity. It's the exact same. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change. I think there are a lot of Protestants who want a more traditional, grounded, historical faith, and I think for young people especially, it makes sense because so much else in our life is changing all the time, okay? Great. Very good. I mean, I would have liked, and you know, the writer's going to put whatever they want to put in there, but I would like to hear about Christ, right? And I'm sure he did say that. I'm absolutely sure that he did. Okay, so this is all amazing. This is incredible. It is absolutely due to much work that is being put into publishing books and doing social media outreach and so forth. Parishes are trying to be welcoming to visitors, right? But here's the thing. I think let's just take a breath because we need to be introspective. We need to be introspective, okay? We can take our victory lap, great. I don't think we really should do that, but it is important for us to be introspective about this, okay? It's important because to be an Orthodox Christian, and you know, what he says here is very important. In other words, he is going to embrace a way of life. Orthodoxy does not work simply by being online. Let's put that slide up. We need to be introspective, okay? We need to understand that Orthodox Christianity is not an online game. It is not a political agenda. It is not a historical artifact. It is not for art class or music or whatever, right? It is imperative that we understand that this moment is given to us for our salvation, for, I would even say, the salvation of the people in the church right now. All of these new people that are coming in, you know, they are coming for our salvation. Every visitor that comes in, every inquirer that comes in, every catechumen, they are here for our salvation, and we are there for their salvation. There has to be this kind of mutual relationship. It cannot be something that we see from afar, okay? And there are some reminders here, and I want to address those who are coming into the church. It's very important that you understand this, okay? And I'm sure, I'm 1,000% sure that every priest that has brought you into the church has absolutely said this to you, okay? Number one, becoming an Orthodox Christian means this is the last stop on your journey of faith. You know, this is like, a lot of people have this very circuitous route in their faith pedigree, right? In their religious pedigree. And I get it because there's a lot of error out there. However, remember that Christ is bringing you into the church. And I've said this before on the show, and I want to say this again. When you are becoming an Orthodox Christian, God is choosing you. God is choosing you. I have, and the one problem that I have with some of these articles is that it gives the impression, or I even say, you know, some of the problem that I have, and let's switch the slide there to becoming an Orthodox Christian. Some of the problem that I have is the way that people discuss this issue is they say, I am choosing to be an Orthodox Christian. I am figuring out what is true. I am going to decide, like, listen, it's imperative that you understand you are not the center of the religious universe. You are not the arbiter of truth. You do have to accept it. There's no doubt about it. You have to accept it. From the biblical narrative, I mean, we have many examples. I always think of John 6, where Jesus tells his disciples that had been following him, he says, in order for you to live, you have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you have to drink his blood, or you have no life in you. And it said, you know, how can you do this? This is so strange. And he says, I'm telling you, he who eats me has life indeed. He who drinks my blood has life indeed. And it says that from that time on, many, many went away from him. And then, and it's one of the most marvelous scenes in scripture. Jesus turns to his disciples as these people are walking away saying, oh, he's crazy. Jesus turns to his disciples. He says, do you want to go too? You want to leave too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? You are eternal life. So whatever you say, we're going to accept it, even if we can't understand it, even if we can't figure it out. So what I'm saying to these young converts, young and old, right, is this is the last stop on your journey. You have to, what YouTube has done, what Reddit has done, what blogs have done, is it's as if you are going to be on an endless search for truth. No, you have found the truth in Christ, in his Orthodox Church, in his church. This is the last stop on your faith journey. Okay. Because if you keep, oh, well, I know I didn't look at this, or I didn't look at Hinduism, or I didn't look at what? Stop. Rest in the knowledge that God has brought you to his church. And stop with the kind of restlessness that I think is very, it's not healthy. This restlessness is not healthy. Extricate yourself. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Some of you aren't going to like it. Extricate yourself from these endless debates about minutia, because, you know, you think that you have to answer every single question before you come into the church. No. Do you subscribe to the creed? Do you trust that this is Christ's church? Do you accept the seven ecumenical councils? Do you accept the authority of the church? Then come on in. But don't think that you have to wrestle with every single question that comes across your YouTube feed. You have to see your life in the Orthodox faith as the beginning of the end for you. You are going to be an Orthodox Christian for the rest of your life. It's a lifelong process. This is not about style. This is not about style. This is not about how beautiful the icons are, or how beautiful the music is, or how good the preaching is, or how nice the priest is, or how nice the people are. I pray that all of those things are true in your church. But even if they're not, it doesn't matter. You are in the fullness of the faith. You are in the pillar and the ground of the truth. Whether you're in some warehouse in, I don't know, Oklahoma, or whether you're in some magnificent cathedral in Chicago or New York or LA. And your task, your life as Orthodox Christian is to live a constant life of repentance and renewal day after day, month after month, year after year, Pascha after Pascha. You can't treat Orthodoxy like you did your former delusion. You know, if you were an evangelical and they got a new pastor, you decided, well, the pastor is preaching something different. And so I'm going to leave this church and I'm going to find another church of what's happening now. Orthodoxy isn't like that. It is the same faith from church to church to church. And your task is to settle yourself into the Orthodox faith. Enter into it every day. Enter into the church's feasts and fasts. This is the beautiful thing about that. And it will transform you. It will create in you a spirit of humility if you allow that to happen. If you allow yourself to be humbled, where God takes your heart of stone and he replaces it with a heart of flesh, right? That's what we're trying to do here by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is to be an Orthodox Christian. And, you know, we have to accept this. This is so important. We have to accept the idea that Christ and the church is here to change me. I'm not here to change Christ and the church. And this is sometimes the hardest thing. The hardest thing to recognize that I have to be obedient to the faith. I have to be obedient to the church. Now, obedient in what? Obedient in where to live? No. Obedient in when to go to bed? No. I have to open my heart to the truth of the church and the truth of Christ, and to live in that life, in that sacramental life. I have to enter into the community. And, you know, here's something else, and we're going to touch on this in a second, but, you know, sometimes people come in maybe for a reason that online they've been told everybody in Orthodoxy is like this, whatever it is, X, right? And then they go to a parish and they realize they're the only one like that. Oh, well, Orthodoxy must be wrong, or I need to find another parish. This is wrong. You have to, in a way, Father Hopko used to talk about, you know, when we're in a community, we're like rocks, we're like rough rocks, and we have to be kind of shoved and banged together to kind of smooth out our rough edges. That part is really important. And my attitude toward the church as listen, this is true whether you've been Orthodox all your life like me, or whether you're a brand new Orthodox Christian, or you're coming in next week. You have to allow the church to kind of change the way that you see things. You have to allow it to create a new worldview for you. right? You have to allow it to create a new worldview for you. That's very, very important. All right, let's go back to some of the comments. Wow, look at all these comments. Let's see here. Here's a really good one. KR says, people need an anchor that isn't moved by the moment. They need the church to reflect Christ as he ever is, ever was, and ever will be. That cannot be Protestantism. I agree. They've largely abandoned, except for a few, they've abandoned liturgy, right? It's just kind of do whatever you feel like. They're making it up as they go along. And there's some heresy there too. George says, our parish has 40 plus catechumens, but apparently it used to have 200 plus parishioners. And for 40 years, it shrinked until it got less than 50. But in the last 3 years, went up and now it's back to 200 plus. Glory to God. George, I can say the same thing is happening in our parish. This is kind of the exact same story. So glory to God, George. I'm so happy for you. Malachi the Messenger. As a catechumen, I don't understand how someone could find the truth and then fall away later. Could you explain to me how that happens? Oh, Malachi, God bless you. You know what? I sort of feel the same way. I kind of scratch my head and say, how is it possible that someone could come into the church and then say, you know, well, after a couple of years, maybe this wasn't what I thought it was. That's a real problem. And I can tell you that it does happen, Malachi. It absolutely happens. And it happens because, you know, Jesus, first of all, says that people, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. So, you know, there's a way of seeing the excitement that we have in being a new Orthodox Christian. We are experiencing something new. That's very, very enthralling. It's like, wow, this is really cool. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn that. I'm going to see this. And I'm going to see it through new eyes. I'm like, wow, this is just so interesting and it's so deep. But what happens, what happens here, Malachi, and it is absolutely true, is it's the parable of the sower. God plants the seed in your heart. He plants it everywhere, right? And we are not immune from the parable of the sower. And either what's going to happen is this seed that comes into our heart, if it doesn't have any root, if it isn't deeply embedded in there, it's just going to die, right? If it goes like on rocky ground where our heart is hard, it will have no root. If the seed is sown along the path that's trampled down, you know, we can hear it, but it just doesn't seem to plant. It doesn't seem to take hold. Persecution, change, trouble. It says this kind of makes things fall away. Or the thorns of the world, of worldly life, worldly goods, the sin I gave up, right? It gets choked out. That word gets choked out. So we might say that the process of an Orthodox Christian is constantly tilling the soil of our heart to weed out all of the weeds and the thorns and the hard ground and the rocks. And it doesn't happen overnight. God gives you the Holy Spirit in your baptism, in your chrismation, in order for you to do this work. In fact, I will say the most beautiful time will be the time when you come into the church. But then what happens is it gets hard. It gets difficult. And I would say modern people don't like difficult things. They don't like hard things. Now, I believe that people that are coming into the church right now, they are looking for a challenge. And sometimes, you know, that is, that said, like, oh, men are really attracted to this idea of challenge or adventure. Okay, great. Take it up. Don't complain. Don't give up, right? And women too. It is going to be difficult. And, you know, the priest that brings you in, God bless him. Hopefully he's working very hard to teach you, to help you become integrated into the community. But one thing he needs to tell you is the day is going to come. This is, again, Father Hopko. He used to say, the day is going to come when God takes all the toys away. And the choir doesn't sound so great anymore. And the priest doesn't seem so nice anymore. And the icons don't seem so beautiful anymore. And I don't know, the YouTube doesn't seem so fun anymore. And then what happens? You go, eh, I'm done. So be careful. Be careful. Okay. All right. Let's look at the next slide here. Now, these are just my own personal views, okay? What do we have to watch out for as new Orthodox Christians, especially, but you older ones, you need to understand this too. Older meaning you've been in the faith a long time. This is the one, the first one is the one I'm really worried about, the fad cycle. You know, I think about all the different fads that come and go all the time. Do you remember, there's probably people that are watching this right now that don't remember the ice bucket challenge for ALS, right? Everybody was doing the ice bucket challenge. I did the ice bucket challenge. And all of us sent money or pledged money to ALS, right? Well, did we help ALS? Yeah, for like 3 weeks or a year or whatever it was. It the next year it just kind of went away, right? We weren't thinking about ALS anymore. Or think about all of the books, especially Protestants, they were into this. Remember the Jabez prayer, the prayer of Jabez, right? There were all kinds of crazy fads that somebody would publish a book and then all of a sudden that would become the hot topic, right? A purpose-driven life, all of that. The American mindset, which is conditioned as a sort of, you know, we are conditioned to consume. We consume things. And the way that we consume things, we go, I'm done with that. Now I want something more. I want something different. And Orthodox Christianity, which is just like, let's just be honest, it's Christianity, okay? Let me say it again. Orthodox Christianity is Christianity. It's not some exotic form of Christianity. It's not like, wow, you know, those Easterners, they really know what they're doing. It's Christianity. This is what it is to be a human being. This is what it is to worship. This is what it looks like. This is what love looks like. This is what service looks like. This is what worship looks like. This is what holiness looks like. It's not, you know, Orthodox Christianity as opposed to some other flavor of Christianity. And so, you know, people that have said before, oh, well, you know, I'm a Western person, therefore I could never be Orthodox. Come on. This is ridiculous. This is the truth. This is not a style that comes and goes with tastes or fashion. And so we cannot reduce this time, this particular Orthodox moment, to a mere fad. I'm begging you, new Orthodox Christians, be on guard for that. Okay? Also, be on guard for the revolving door syndrome. What's the revolving door syndrome? Well, let's say, and I look, God is going to bring you into the church in many different ways, through many different means. But once he brings you in, it's kind of like what I said before, this is the end of the journey. But what happens often is when we encounter those times where it's a little bit difficult, or it's a little bit, you know, I had a fight with a priest, or, you know, somebody looked at me wrong, or whatever it is, we end up, especially as converts, saying, well, you know, it wasn't that hard to leave my previous church. I'll just leave again. Like every time I do it, it just gets a little bit easier. You can't see the Orthodox faith that way. It's very important that you see, it's not that you're locked in, right? It's not that you're locked in, but you don't get comfortable when the inevitable temptation comes to you to give up, right? To say, it's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too, I don't know what, right? It's too exotic. It's, I don't like the people, whatever. You don't give up. This is throughout the New Testament, but especially in the epistles and in the book of Revelation, we have a constant call to patient endurance, patient endurance, patient endurance. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end will be saved. You cannot simply give up because something happened that you don't like. It is imperative that you press forward no matter what, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you believe his Spirit has filled you, because you believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You don't give up. Okay. Now, what about this one? Political disillusionment. Political disillusionment. And that can take many different forms. It could be people that, you know, there's some priest or some bishop somewhere that's just doing some crazy thing or saying some crazy thing. Or, you know, marching with some political organization or whatever, right? Look, all of these things will be corrected. Be patient. I'm not saying sit back and take it. I'm not saying don't say something to your bishop. Don't say something to your priest. If your priest or bishop preaches heresy, I'm talking like heresy. If they try to blur the lines about what a man is, or what a woman is, or what Christian marriage is, right? Or what sexual relations are. If they try to blur those lines, you go to them respectfully and you explain to them from the scriptures, from the teachings of the fathers, from the teachings of the theologians, why this is wrong. And then you pray for them. You tell them that you love them. Don't give up. Don't think that one errant teacher or one errant word is all of Orthodoxy. You know what Orthodoxy is. So to don't get into a kind of political disillusionment. And another form of political disillusionment is people that kind of cut their teeth online, and they maybe got their orthodoxy with a dose of conservatism or a dose of liberalism, whatever it was. And then they go to a church and they find out, oh, I'm the only one that believes this now, right? I'm the only one that's of this particular political stripe. I thought everybody was this political stripe. Well, they're not. Now, I don't care what political stripe you are, as long as you adhere to Orthodox doctrine and Orthodox practice and you don't try to change it. If you try to change it, sit down and shut up and change your heart. But don't think that there is a kind of political rightness in what some commentator says, and that Orthodoxy has a kind of political stripe to it. I mean that very sincerely. It's very important that you understand that. We are Orthodox Christians. We are not a political party. Look out for priests, and sadly, there are few, that will receive someone very easily with no catechesis or poor catechesis. Find someone who will teach you. Find someone who will help you. Get the blessing of that priest and say, hey, I'd like to read this book. Is this book okay? Can you direct me to someone who can help me if they're not willing to help you? But don't fall into the temptation of a priest that maybe is desperate for people. And I get it. I understand it. And to just say, oh, well, come on up here and I'll chrismate you right now. Like, that's not right. It's not appropriate. There has to be some kind of catechesis, something. There has to be some discussion of the faith. There has to be some affirmation of what the Orthodox faith is. And there has to be some denial of what your previous delusion was, right? That's very important. Okay. And I probably, this one's not going to be very popular, but watch out for majoring in minors. Watch out for majoring in minors. Why? This minutia. Look, I love a good theological discussion. I've got so many books. I have thousands and thousands of Orthodox theological books. However, you are not required to know every single thing about every single thing and every act of every council. And this saint said this and this saint said that. And then watch every debate. And we kind of go to the beginning again where we say, I'm going to watch a debate. And then whoever wins the debate, I'm going to decide I'm going to join that religion. Come on. That's absurd. You cannot approach the church that way. You cannot get caught up, and I'll say it, you cannot get caught up in these theological debates about really very, very minute and detailed and technical issues. Now, is it good to read up on those things? Of course, it's a very good and holy thing to know these things. But it's not good to stir up others' passions by, you know, going online and saying, oh, you're a heretic because you believe this or you believe that. You know, you have to sort of guard your heart, right? And if you become an Orthodox Christian and then you tune into YouTube or Reddit or whatever, and you all of a sudden you're shaking, like, you know, because, oh, there's a heretic out there, or, you know, Father so-and-so didn't say this right. Let's go get him. Stop it. This is not healthy. This is not good. You have to focus, really, as a new Orthodox Christian, as an old Orthodox Christian, all of you, you have to focus on the one thing needful, which Jesus sums up in these two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. You should be doing things like saying your prayers, right? Read Akathists. Like, if you're spending more time on YouTube, and that includes this show, if you're spending more time doing those things than serving the sick in your parish, reaching out to them, being with men or women, respectively, of your parish to get to know them, helping out at church, attending the services, right? Like, if you're spending 6 hours a day watching Orthodox, quote unquote, and I sometimes use that like very loosely, Orthodox YouTubers, and then you go to church maybe once a week for 2 hours? Wait, like something's wrong there. You're spending 36 hours a week watching Orthodox YouTube and 2 hours a week going to church? Like, that's not right. You have to like realize, okay, now I'm Orthodox. I need to stop searching. Of course, you should read, you should grow, but like read and grow and like extricate yourself from all the nonsense that's online. Okay. All right. So let's see here. We got a lot of comments. Hi, everybody. Naval Orange Gazer says, I'm very thankful I discovered the church before ever reading about it online. I like that. I really like that very much. That's very good. And it says, Adam the Recluse says both. I like to learn about the saints and use the internet just for that and apologetics. Great. Very good. Archangel Icon, online apologists and teaching also needs to be humble. Humility is a cornerstone of Orthodoxy, which is sometimes forgotten in discussions and argument. Amen, Archangel Icon. Amen. Let's see here. Father Paul Kelly says, I think attending liturgy is vital. The church is best when lived, not when studied. Absolutely. I think we have to say this again and again and again. Here's the other thing. You know, talking about Orthodox YouTubers and so forth. I don't care how many people some subscriber has. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because if they're not humble, if they're not telling you all the time, go to church, go to church, go to church, pray, love your neighbor. If they're not telling you that and they're not embodying that, just get rid of them. You can't turn the information about Orthodoxy into entertainment. You cheapen the Orthodox faith when you do that, okay? Don't do that. It's very important. Okay, couple more comments here. Ooh, so many. Timeless Wisdom with Dr. Anita. Wow, I want to see what that is. Timeless Wisdom with Dr. Anita. At some point in our process of learning about Orthodoxy, we realized that we had to actually go to church. You cannot actually understand Orthodoxy outside of the Divine Liturgy. That is so true. That is absolutely true. You know, it's like, again, I think you get stuck in this cycle of, you know, listening and listening and listening and listening. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, maybe I should go to a church. Yeah. Because you're not becoming a philosopher about Orthodoxy. You're not becoming a theologian about Orthodoxy. You're becoming a follower of Christ. And that means the one thing needful is entering into the worship of God. What is Orthodoxy? It is the true worship of God, right? This is what it is. The right standing, the right glory, the standing before God, orthodoxia, doxa, glory. We are glorifying God, you know, in the straight way. That's what it means. And so you got to do that. It's really, really important. Okay. Lots of great comments. So grateful for all of you. I thank you very, very much for joining us today. Great comments. Hey, share out this program. I would love if you would do that. Do me a quick favor. Just share it out right now. Click that share button in YouTube or Facebook. Share it out to other people. Hit the like button. I would love to see that like number go up too, because we want to get the word out. This is fun to talk with all of you, to encourage you. And again, I want to encourage all of you. I want to encourage you to understand that you are in the church of the living God. You did not choose the church. I mean, you made this decision, but Christ is calling you. Christ chose you to become his follower. And you have to see the Orthodox faith like that. It's very important. So last slide, and there is St. Peter Paul in Salt Lake City. I think this is an old photo, but it says Christ is in our midst, right? Now, Christ is in our midst is, technically speaking, it's a greeting that clergy give one another, but I think in our country, we've kind of opened it up and a lot of people say it, right? It's true. Christ is in our midst. It's imperative for us to understand, to not reduce the church to a series of doctrines, to a series of YouTubers. When we are gathered together as the body of Christ in liturgical worship, Christ is in our midst. That's his promise. When two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We are gathered together. I want to welcome you to the family. We are a family. We are the body of Christ. This is not something that simply is about, you know, philosophy or politics or iconography or whatever. This is about truth. This is about Jesus. This is all about the kingdom of God. And, you know, our salvation depends on this. Our souls depend on this. So let's not trivialize it. Let's keep going. Let's share out the faith. Let's be there for the right reason. Let's not get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Send me an email. I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email at aft@ancientfaith.com. I would love to hear from you if you have anything to say. Let's see here. Oh, wait. I've got, let's see, did we, oh, here's one here. Let's see. It says here, I'm just going to read this last note from reader Joe Dunham in Eagle River, Alaska, St. John's Cathedral. My question is there a library or some sort of collection of some of your earlier preaching sessions? I would love to hear some of these again. They were very instrumental in the formation of our church up here. We'll check it out. All right. Okay. Very, very good. All right, that's our show for tonight. Remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ancientfaithtoday. Share out this program, please. I would love if you would do that. And like it, give us some feedback, and give us your ideas. What do you want to talk about? Let's all gather together next Tuesday evening or afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time on Ancient Faith Today Live. Good night, everybody.